you so very much. Let's look at that passage which was read earlier in your hearings by Cameron Jackson, taking note of verses numbers 1 and 2. Our text is Jonah chapter 3, verses numbers 1 and 2. It reads, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." I want to try and prayerfully preach unto your hearings today from the subject, A God of Another Chance. A God of Another Chance. Among the many great blessings God affords us by his grace and mercy is another chance, another opportunity. When we make a mistake, we're not a failure. When we fail, it is not permanent. When we err, it is not the end. When we stumble, we don't have to fall. When we fall, we can get up. When we sin, our sins are forgiven. And when we are in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are covered by the blood. Our God does not simply give us a second chance. He gives us another chance. And we ought to rejoice today. And we can certainly give praises unto the sovereign Lord of this universe in knowing that our God is a God of another chance. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if you were given only one chance in life? Suppose God were to deal with us like he dealt with Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. They were told not to eat of a certain tree. They did what they were not told to do. And upon having made one mistake, God drove them out of the Garden of Paradise into a wilderness of thistles and thorns, and then shut the gate to paradise so that they could not get back in. What would it be like if we were given only one chance? We fell down and not a chance to get up. We got sick and not a chance of being healed from our sickness. Broke an arm, broke a leg, broke an ankle, broke a limb, and having to go through life, the rest of our lives, in that state of brokenness. But glory, hallelujah, we serve a wonderful and a mighty God who gives us another chance. And he does so because he loves us. And he loves us so very, very much. It's about like a parent and a child relationship. If your child, perhaps age 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, made a mistake, was disobedient to you as a parent, disrespectful of you, and but a child, you don't put that child out of the house and then close the door and not let the child come back in. If the child begins sobbing and crying and saying, "I'm sorry, Daddy," or "I apologize, Mommy," you don't close the door as if you did not hear your child's remorse or apology. No, you throw your arms around that four-year-old, that five-year-old, six, seven-year-old, and you begin to teach them and show them the right way. Help them to understand the mistake that they made. Give them warning that should they continue, there may be some consequences, because our children have to understand that there are consequences to our actions. We do not discard or push that child apart, but we try to train that child up in the way the child should go, so that when that child becomes older, the child remembers the way of the training. Why do we do so as parents? Because we love our children. That's how the spiritual parent-child relationship is with us and God. Because God loves us, we make mistakes, we do wrong, we disavow his commandments. But because he loves us, he doesn't just give us a second chance. He gives us another chance. Glory, hallelujah. In our text, we find God having given Jonah another chance. When we look at chapter 1, verse number 1, it begins by saying, "And the word of God came to Jonah." And verse number 2 says that God said to Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Verse 3 says, "Instead of Jonah doing what God said do, instead of him having regard for the word of God, he chose to go to Tarshish, went down to a place called Joppa, boarded a ship to make his way to Tarshish." Note, if you will, God's word was to go to Nineveh, but the word Jonah chose to follow on his own accord was to go to Tarshish. God's way was Nineveh. Jonah's way was Tarshish. God's will was Nineveh. Jonah's will was Tarshish. My beloved in the Lord, anytime we go against the word of God, God will trouble our waters. And it just might be right now. Some of the trouble that you're having in your life, it could very well be because you have chosen to follow the way of the world rather than listen and abide by the word. Glory, hallelujah. And some of us have what we call a Jonah complex. And we're not even aware that we have a Jonah complex. Let me tell you what a Jonah complex is. It's when you got a 4,000 square feet house and you don't enjoy being home. Driving around in a brand new, fully loaded, luxury automobile, and as empty and unfulfilled as you can be. $4,000 bed on which to rest and fall asleep, and you can't rest at night. Dressed up in some of the finest, most expensive name brand clothes, but you're ragged on the inside. You call it a Jonah complex because the word of God has said one thing and you've chosen to do something else. Because the word of God says this is the will of God for your life and you choose to do it your own way. Look at Jonah. Verse 1, the word of God said. Verse 2, go to Nineveh. Verse 3 says he went to Tarshish. And what happened in verse 4? In verse 4, you will find out that God troubled the waters. He sent a strong wind into the sea. And the word said there was a tempest in the sea. And then it says, and the ship was likely to be broken. When God says do something, you better do what God says do. We as a nation are drifting farther and farther away from the word of God.
And the farther we drift from the word of God, the more disastrous are our consequences. So if you want to know why the waters in America are troubled like they are, it is because, my beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because we're not doing it the way God's word says do it. And when God's word is disregarded and disavowed, God will trouble our waters. But here in our text, chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, the word of God came to Jonah the second time. In other words, God is giving Jonah another opportunity. Let me say something that has been troubling my God spirit in recent weeks. The COVID-19 virus shut us down around March of 2020, and numbers just skyrocketed. Thousands upon thousands of persons died from the virus. The Brooklyn Church, concerned about persons becoming vaccinated, opened up a vaccine clinic on March the 11th, and we held it open until mid-June. And it was open until we found so very few persons coming in June, though 50% of the people were still not vaccinated. But for some reason, folk chose not to be vaccinated, and so there was no reason to continue with the vaccine when only 5 or 10 people were coming from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., so we shut it down. Now, all of a sudden, people are calling the office over and over again. Is the Brooklyn Vaccine Clinic open? No, it's not open. We had it open, welcoming the opportunity for persons. And now here we are, the numbers have skyrocketed again. 25 persons died one day last week. God has given us another chance. Now, I'm saying this is my humble opinion here. Now, this is my humble opinion. What's the painful reality of this? Second wave, Delta variant is what we call it. What's the painful reality is that our children are now suffering. I want somebody to hear what the Lord is saying to us now. Our children are being hospitalized. Yes, even our children are dying now. That's painful. It's painful enough for adults to die as a result of the virus. But when you start talking about children, and I preached a sermon just this past Sunday about being concerned about our children, raising the question, are all the children well? We cannot say that all the children are well when children are being hospitalized, children are suffering, children have begun to die. And Dr. Baron Davis, I'm praying for our educational system, because it has to be very difficult for us in leadership when it comes to virtual classrooms and coming and returning to school in person. What are we going to do? And you got to pray for me, because I'm concerned, and it hurts me when I hear persons who are anti-masks and anti-vaccine catching the vaccine and then on a deathbed while on a ventilator asking God to forgive them for not taking the vaccine and trying to get their children to take the vaccine because of a mistake they made. Question. Could we have saved a child's life if we had been fully vaccinated? Would our children be suffering now if we had become fully vaccinated? Giving us another opportunity. Now, my humble opinion on the vaccine can be debated. Others may see what I just said from a totally different perspective. But let me share with you something now that's not debatable. Your soul salvation is in question right now. So you can debate the upside and the downside of the vaccine. But you can't debate your soul's destiny. I'm here to tell you, it's either heaven or hell. You're either going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to be tormented in hell. And God is giving us right now another opportunity. I don't know what God is saying to us in light of what our nation is facing. I don't know what God is saying to us, having now so permitted a second Delta variant virus that's taken away. I don't know what God is saying, but I want to say that you better get right with God. If there is anybody here who does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you waiting on? What needs to happen in your life? A prayer that I've been recently praying is for God to bring about an awakening without a shaking. Ooh. Because you know, sometimes God has to shake us to awake us. Oh, glory, hallelujah here. But the Lord said to tell you today, his word says we need Jesus. Let me say it again. We need Jesus. We need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is no time for us to tarry or delay. We need to get right with God. We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ now. Now. It's of such urgency that we should not, as our elders would say, put off the day for tomorrow. We need to do it now. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life now. One of the things that we sometimes do is that we'll make a decision and we ask God to guide the decision. When you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you ask for God's wisdom and you ask for God's guidance, and then you make the decision. We've got that thing wrong. We've got it in the reverse. We've got to say, Lord, come into my life now. I want to make you the head of my life. And decisions I make, God, I want them to be decisions that's in keeping with what your will is for my life. So don't put off today. He's giving us another opportunity. Another chance. The only time you are absolutely sure of is this very moment. You don't know for sure that you're going to leave the gathered church this morning and make your way back home. I don't know for sure that I'm going to finish this sermon that I'm preaching. I've known preaching colleagues to die preaching at the pulpit. The only time we have is right now. And God is giving us another opportunity. I beg for the sake of Jesus Christ that you give your life to Jesus now. Jonah was told by the word of God to go to Nineveh. Instead, he chose to make his way to Tarshish. And he was arrested at high sea. And they took Jonah and threw Jonah overboard. A couple of things I want to say about this Jonah story and this opportunity that God gave Jonah. The word of God came to Jonah the second time. He was given another opportunity. There were a couple of mistakes that Jonah made, lest we make the same mistake. I need to point them out for you. The first thing I want to point out about this Jonah story is this. Jonah listened to the wrong voices. Watch this. Jonah listened to the wrong voices. Look at Jonah. He's in the belly of a fish. And listen to what he says in chapter 2, verse 8. He's in the belly of the fish. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Break that down, Pastor. They that listen or observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah is now in the belly of a fish. And he's saying to us,
Don't listen to the wrong voices. Don't listen to lying tongues. Don't listen to those who talk about what they don't know about. The New International Version puts it like this. Those who cling to, glory, hallelujah, unwanted, undesirable, those who cling to evil ways, those who cling to that which is not of God, forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Oh, Lord have mercy. What's ours? What ours, as I said as I opened the sermon, what's ours? God's grace and God's goodness, but and God's mercy. But he says, they, those who cling to worthless idols, forfeit, good God Almighty, the grace that could be theirs. I've said it countless times, and I'm going to keep on saying it. I'm going to keep on saying it because I still see it played out in so many instances. Whoever has your ear has your destiny. To whom do we listen? Jonah did not listen to the word of God, and we do not listen to the word of godly people. When we do not listen to people who are growing in the spirit and who love the Lord Jesus Christ, you just can't listen to any and everybody when you find yourself struggling and in a crisis situation. You got to listen to somebody who really knows God, who really has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody who's been tried in the fire and have come out of the fire and can testify, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Those are the kind of persons you got to listen to. Who are you listening to today? Jonah calls them lying vanities. Call them worthless idols. Those who have not a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it before. Permit me to say it again now, because we still listen to the wrong voices. Let me say it again. Two people in a ditch. You're in the ditch, and I'm in the ditch. We both are in the ditch listening to one another. Now, if you're in the ditch, and I'm in the ditch, don't you know, if I knew how to get out the ditch, I wouldn't be in the ditch with you. Does that make any sense to anybody other than me? How can somebody give counsel to you when they're in the ditch with you? You don't have counsel, you have company. And somebody knows that misery loves company. I got to hurry on. This past Friday, I was speaking of one of the candidates in the local election. And so I said, one of the things I admire so much about this candidate is that this candidate has as her primary consultant God. When we're getting ready to make decisions, we consult, we seek advice, we seek counsel. But if your primary consultant is God, God is going to lead you in the right way. God's going to send the right kind of people to you. You may not always make the right decision, but when you do make that decision, you're making that decision against the backdrop that God has already heard your care. And so God is going to bring you through it. God is going to make the way for you. God is going to be by your side in the midst of it all. If your primary consultant is God, who's your primary consultant? Some folk would rather have houses and land. Some folk choose silver and gold. Good God Almighty. These things they treasure, but forget about their soul. I decided to make Jesus my choice.
Jonah listened to the wrong voices, and he found himself being thrown overboard in the belly of a fish because God troubled his waters. Second mistake he made is this. Jonah lost communion with God. Watch this. Lost communion with God. Communion with God. What does that mean? Communion with God is this. Communion with God is when we seek to live in the will of God. Watch this. Communion is about covenant relationship. Communion with God is when the soul connects with God. And when the soul is connected with God, we try to do that which pleases God, because the soul is connected with God. You've got to understand that God created the soul. The soul longs to be with God. And so when we depart from planet Earth and our time is no more down here, what we see remaining are the mortal remains, because the soul, if the soul is in Jesus Christ, if the soul is connected with God, the soul dwells eternally with him. Jesus the Christ in the heavens. Communion with God. Let me tell you. One of the reasons, primary reason, that our parents brought us to church on Sunday mornings is because they wanted to establish that connection with God. They wanted there to be communion of our soul with God. Because one of the ways that you nurture that communion with God and the soul is in worship. Oh, I want to help somebody here now. In worship, our parents brought us to church. Likewise, we should bring our children to church. Because when we bring our children to church, something is happening in the spirit world. And our souls are being connected with God. We have our children in church. And they hear the word of God. They come to hear John 3:16. They don't understand what's going on, but they know something is happening when they see people praising God. Something is happening, and they come to understand something about the fellowship with God's people and the love that we ought to have one for another, something that we might not find on our jobs and in our schools, something we might not find in our neighborhoods and our society club. They find out there's a difference on Sunday morning than any other day in the week. That soul is becoming in communion with God. That's why I had my children and my grandchildren, I would ask them the question, what's the first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word Sunday? Church. Church. Because you are establishing a communion of your soul with God. I thank God for my parents. I thank God for my parents. And when I begin to list all of what my parents did for my brothers and my sister and me, when I thank God for all of what they've done for me, first among those because of where I am now, I thank them for telling me about God, teaching me about Jesus, laying a faith foundation with me, setting it up so that I could commune, my soul could commune with God. I thank God for it. I thank God that my parents, Mr. Thomas and Izella, brought us to Sunday school, brought us to church. I thank God that they taught us to pray and brought us to church where we could see people praying. Thank God that they brought us to church so we can hear choirs singing the songs of praises and hymns of the faith. Thank God for them bringing us to church.